It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and I want to welcome you to our weekly outdoor show here on KETR. You know, I hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving, and I know a lot of you are looking forward to Christmas. I know we are. I've got a column, my newspaper column this week, that which I bet a lot of you might read in the Greenville Herald Banner and other newspapers. It was about Christmas gifts for the sportsmen. We sportsmen and sports ladies can be tough to buy for. And in that column this week, I gave some information and some thoughts that might help you shop for that sportsman or sports lady in your life. You know, I thought today I would just solo with you, one of our one-on-one visits where I don't have a guest. Occasionally, we don't have a guest on the show. Usually, I like to have someone to share some knowledge. And I will say this, if you have anything in the outdoors that you'd like to share with all of our friends that listen each week, I want to make myself available to you. You can just simply go online to catfishradio.com. And there's a little icon, contact Luke. My email address is right there. Just go to catfishradio.com, drop me an email. And, you know, whatever, I'm there. I'm here for you. I love to hunt and fish, and I need all kind of fodder for my newspaper articles and talk for our radio shows, too. So feel free to contact me through there. My email address is there. I'd give it to you now, but chances are you won't remember it if you're rolling down the road heading to a deer stand somewhere. Let's talk about taking care of the meat once we get our deer today. Now, I'm an old, you know, amateur butcher. I've whittled up no telling how many deer, elk, and everything else, all kind of game animals in my life, and I still do. But in venison, good venison, the key is getting all the sinew and all the fat out of the meat. It's not hard to do at all. Just say we're starting with a backstrap. Well, some people call it silver skin. Some people just call it membrane. But the outside of a backstrap, you can take your knife, a fillet knife, and run under the skin and just easily cut that off. If you don't, when you start cutting those steaks, you're going to have that tough, sinew on your steaks when you're cooking them. So take your time, first off, if you're doing the butchering, and remove all the silver skin, the membranes, and the fat. Just take your time. It doesn't take that long to do it. Like a ham meat, there's several muscles, big muscles in a ham, and you can easily see them. Just take a sharp-pointed fillet knife, and you'll see that little white crease there on the ham meat, the different muscles in the ham. Start that going. You can actually pull with your fingers. You can pull them apart some, but I usually do a little cutting too, and try to remove the bigger muscles when you're cutting the hams up, and then cut them across the grain. I usually cut my ham steaks all the steaks for that matter, about a half inch thick, maybe a little less than that, because I'm going to tenderize them before I vacuum seal them. And therein is another thing that's important, is tenderizing the steaks. Now, you know, a lot of people talk about backstraps being very, very tender. And they, you know, they really are. They're the most tender part of the animal because it's the muscles. They're muscles that are not used too much. Excuse me, I've got a cough here. Part of live radio here, folks. I'm still drinking coffee this morning. And I thought it'd be a good time to visit with all of you. But, cut your steaks just whatever thickness you like. But then, even the back straps, they're not going to be as tender as you probably want them to be. Now, maybe if you're talking about a young doe or a young deer, the back straps may not need any more tenderizing, but chances are they will. I use a little unit called a jacquard. It's the best way to describe it. It's got, probably close to 30 little knife blades that are sharp on the end, and the handle is on top. You just cut your steaks, and stack them in a pile and just run, push that jacquard up and down over those steaks. And it, you know, it's not that hard of work, but it will definitely tenderize them. You can also use, for years I used an aluminum meat hammer where you can just whack the meat and, you know, it'll flatten out a little bit, but it'll definitely tenderize it. Now, there's also hand-cranked meat tenderizers. I don't have one. I'm thinking about getting one. And then there's electric meat tenderizers where you just, like the grocer, the butcher does, just run your meat, your steaks through the tenderizer, and it perforates it, you know. That's when you have it done at a meat processor. That's the way they do it, usually through the electric meat tenderizer. But once you get all those steaks tenderized, I do tenderize them when I'm during the butchering process, so I when I defrost them, I don't have to worry about doing it then, you know. So once you get that done, I think it's the important thing is to keep air away from the steaks. So I've got a, you know, a food saver, a vacuum sealer, not one of the real expensive commercial ones, but I've had this one for, gosh, a couple of 3 years, and it works just fine. It'll pull a vacuum on the bags there and take all the air away from the steaks, and, gosh, you can keep them for, I've had, they usually don't last that long, but I know I've eaten them for a year, and that were a year and a half in the freezer there, and taste just like they did when you put them in. But that will ensure that you have the tenderizing and then the vacuum sealing will ensure that you've got some good meat to work with next August if you want to have some chicken fried deer steak, you know. Now, I made some chili this past week, and when you're making, I grind my own meat or either I'll cut the chili meat, the steaks, if you will, usually from the shoulder meat, cut them in small pieces, like a quarter inch. Take your time with a real sharp knife. I'll just tell you how I make the chili and might be something that you want to try. I love smoked chili, and I've got a process and a way that I do it that's good every time. So I'll start out with either ground venison, or I'll defrost some shoulder steaks or whatever, or just some shoulder meat. Take a really sharp knife and cut it into little cubes, maybe, oh gosh, quarter inch cubes, something like that. And I'll get a cast iron, use my cast iron Dutch kettle, or you can use a big cast iron skillet, or just a thick walled pot. You don't want to do this in a thin walled pot and scorch the meat. But I'll take my old Dutch kettle, put a little cooking oil in there. You can have a little pork fat in it, whatever, but you'll need a little, what we old country people would call grease. You'll need a little grease in there. And get it hot and put the meat, your ground venison or your cubed up venison in there in the pot, depending on how much chili you want to make, you know. At this point, I like to add a chopped onion. And I always throw in a green chili pepper. It can be a poblano or an Anaheim. Or a Hatch chili pepper if it's in the late summer, but a big green chili pepper that's seeded. Chop it up pretty fine. Throw it in there too. Now just take you a metal spoon or whatever and stir that up till the meat is gray and the onion is translucent, clear. So at this point, the meat is tender. It's done, but it is not tender. I guarantee you it won't be tender at that stage. So now, to get your smoke flavor, now this process I do over a gas burner, you know, a propane burner. But you could cook it over a wood fire at this point if you wanted to. But I do it on a propane burner, get it all mixed in. And I use Wick's Fowler chili seasoning. It's the type that comes in a lot of little different packets, the different seasonings. I know you've used it probably, but that's what I use to make chili with. There's one alarm and two alarm. And two alarm is both packets of red pepper. I usually just make one alarm chili, but just depends on who's going to be eating it, you know. So mix all the packets, or if you want to make your chili from scratch, put your chili powder, cumin, garlic powder, or garlic salt, whatever you use, the ingredients that you want in your chili, mix them in at this point. Salt, of course. Then it's time to infuse the smoke to put the smoke flavor. I put them in my Smoking Tech's electric smoker, the whole Dutch kettle, you know, with the meat and the spices and all. I put it in there and let it, I get a hickory wood or maybe pecan wood, plum wood, whatever. Get a good smoke going for about 45 minutes. Stir it once or twice just to make sure it doesn't stick. And I don't think it will with the if you put the oil in there first, you know. So stir it up good. And at this point, you're ready to add some chopped tomatoes. I usually use a quart of canned tomatoes out of my garden. I can tomatoes in the spring, you know, late spring. But put your tomatoes in there with it. Stir it all around really good, and then pour about a, you know, bottle of water in there too. You don't want it to stick. That's the only thing you can do wrong. Now that meat will already have a great smoked flavor, and it'll add that flavor to the beans and everything else. At this point, I put a lid on it, and I've got it in this electric smoker that I can control the heat on. I set it at 225. And I forget about it for about, 4 or 5 hours. And that meat will just slow simmer in there and get really, really tender. Now, you could, say you don't have a Smoking Tech's or an electric smoker of some sort, you can just do all this on top of the stove. But you won't have the wood smoke flavor if you do that. I mean, that's the only drawback. And to me, that adds a great deal to it. So I thought that would be, that's kind of what I wanted to share with you today. Now, back to the butchering part on the deer. And everything I've told you about deer works equally well on wild hogs. I do hogs, the wild pork, the same identical way with the tenderizing. And you can take a ham steaks off of a hog, a wild hog, a good, you know, obviously a good fat one, and cut those steaks and use a tenderizing jacquard or a meat hammer, whatever, and get those steaks tender and chicken fry them off the pork. I fooled a lot of people. What are we having tonight, Luke? Get some deer camp or whatever. Yeah, we're going to have some chicken fried steak here. Oh, some venison. I won't say no, this is not venison. It's wild pork, but fry up a big platter of wild pork steaks, and I swear the people seldom ever do they say, hey, wait a minute, this is not venison. It's hard when you season it up like you're supposed to with garlic and all that. It's kind of hard to tell whether it's pork or venison or wild venison, you know. But that's what we wanted to talk about today, is different ways to put stuff to use. And if you want to take it a step farther than just chicken frying it, go ahead and chicken fry it first, then drain the oil out of that you fried the steaks in, drain it out of the skillet, put the steaks back in there, and put a chop an onion on them on top of it, mix that onion in there with it till the onion's done, and here's what makes it good. Go ahead and put a big can of cream of mushroom soup in there and some water. Stir that around good with some black pepper. I'm going to tell you, that makes for some excellent smothered steak. Well, folks, I really have enjoyed rambling with you today, and that's kind of what I've done, covered a lot of topics, but I hope all of you have a good outing in the outdoors this weekend, duck season going, and hope you get that big buck of your dreams. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.